Anyway, certainly it's a pleasure to be here to share with you folks some of what we do at Penn State. This is based on my master student Ken Takagi's work. So if you haven't heard about Critical Zone Observatory, this is kind of a bird's eye view of it in central Pennsylvania. It's a forest catchment. You can see the terrain kind of fairly well defined. And what we have here basically a bunch of locations that we collect soil moisture throughout the catchment. This is the full year data that I'm going to report to you. And the objective of this particular study are twofold. First is to give you a sense of how soil moisture spatial organization looks like throughout the catchment and also in different soil landscape units and how that might change with depth and time. And then give you a little bit further sense of the spatial correlation between soil moisture content and the different soil terrain attributes and how that might change with time as well. So before I get to the actual soil hydrological aspect of stuff, give you a little bit sense of the, relatively speaking, not too variable soil texture throughout the catchment in terms of the sampling locations or monitoring locations that we collect soil samples and showing you the textural distribution. And so mostly it's long or medium texture soil, long, sandy long, silt long, no clear spatial trend, lots of rock fragments, which is based, basically because of the sheared bedrock. That has a lot of residues of the rock fragments. All right, here's the fun part. I hope to give you a visual sense of the spatial and temporal variation of soil moisture based on our actual field data. Of course, we only collect point data, so those black dots are the actual moisture data. And then we do the regression kriging based on the terrain attribution to generate those maps. So walking through the animation, each map, well, here's the timestamp. And then we have the same color ramp in terms of wet to dry. And then the diagrams here showing the basically the histograms of soil moisture storage throughout the profile change with space. And then here's the semi-variogram to give you a sense of spatial structure. Of course, I won't have time to get into all the details, but just give you a kind of snapshots of the how the whole catchment wets up and dries down as season changes. All right, hopefully give you a little bit kind of a visual impression about our catchments under the trees and tree canopy on and off. Okay, so let's get to the numbers in terms of characterizing that spatial temporal patterns. Here, if you look at the literature, basically a fairly good mix of different relationships you could observe in terms of spatial variance of soil moisture over a given area of landscape versus the overall spatially average soil moisture content. And you can see that the relationship is quite a mess, so to speak. But there are two general models you can tease out, which is shown at the top, where you see these, the, again, variance of soil moisture across the landscape of your interest, and the overall average soil moisture counting in the soil profile from dry wetting point to total saturation. And so you can see this upside down concave shape, all this curved linear relationship. I won't get into a lot of details, but if you're interested, so it'll be interesting to talk about what's causing that. This is from the literature. I'm going to show you what we have in our catchments. All right. The core messages, of course, is going to be a function of the soil distribution, terrain attributes, and vegetation cover, and all that kind of fun and sometimes headache variability. Okay. All right. So based on that visual animation I show you over 4 years, which I just give you a snapshot of that. The x-axis is the overall average catchment soil moisture, all right? Over 100 monitoring locations, I should mention the number that we have at multiple depths, all right? So I'm showing you the kind of horizon thickness weighted average over the entire catchment versus the gradients at a given day of data collection. Alright? And showing you this kind of exponential increase of the spatial variability as the catchment wets up. Alright? And so this fits the second model I showed you in the previous slide, the curvilinear positive increase of the variability as catchment wets up over time. Well, dries down and wets up, so it depends on the time. So if you look at multiple depths, which we also monitored, from the surface down to about 1 meter, you see the general trend is still similar. However, if you look at closer to the numbers, which you can read the fine print here, the exponents of the exponential relationship, it show a general decrease, the trend from about 6 to 7 down to deeper part of profile, only 3 or 4. So that basically says that as you go down deeper in the profile, the moisture stays more stable, temporarily speaking, right? Stays wet much of the year and then therefore less variable. And, but it still shows this kind of exponential increase of the variation. Now if you zoom in terms of fine details of the landforms and soil types, which are fairly good correlation in this particular catchment, we show you here 3 major landforms: concaved type of hill slope, kind of swell, and then a planar hill slope, as well as the valley floor. Alright? And if you partition the data set we showed you earlier into these 3 landform units, you again see this kind of exponential increase of the variation as the catchment wets up. Alright? And so, one concluding point corresponding to the first objective is summarized here. Now, I do want to point out in the second bullet that because of the terrain and the soil distribution in this particular catchment, we have this kind of exponential increase of spatial variability regardless of depth and length of units. Should the catchment be flat like agricultural field, this is a forest landscape, then you might expect the first model I showed you earlier in terms of the spatial variability as the landscape wets up, because the water could be spreading out more uniformly as the landscape wets up. But in our V-shaped catchment, the flow concentrated downward towards the valley floor as the catchment wets up, and that's part of the driver behind this kind of relationship. Now quickly move on to the second objective in terms of temporal stability of that spatial variation that we have. Here shows you a summary of the moisture content averaged over the landform units, 3 different landform units again over time, and the gray bars indicating the dry summer period, basically showing the overall averaged moisture content less than a 4-year mean. Alright, so showing you the average and the standard deviation for 3 different landform units. And the message here is hopefully clear that overall you see the temporal stability in terms of how the landform units stay relatively comparing to each other unchanged, whether it's wet or dry period. So you have this bottom message that we show the general pattern of the soil moisture. And then you can also, for each of the 3 landscape units, you can notice that during the winter, spring, wet period, you have higher moisture content but also higher variability. And during the dry summer period, you have lower moisture content and lower variability. So it's kind of corresponding to the first message I showed you earlier. Now this kind of interesting slide, although it's kind of busy, but it's not complicated at all, showing you the time sequence of the correlation between the soil moisture in the profile versus 11 soil terrain attributes. And now, obviously, the correlation, the darker it goes, the higher the correlation. You can hear that over time, temporarily speaking, stable relationship between depth to bedrock and topographic wetness index and then rock fragments being the main tools. All right, and the elevation slope, curvature, upslope contributing area, sand content, silt content, clay content, organic matter, they don't seem to be making a whole lot difference in terms of this particular catchment's spatial variation of soil moisture. Now, translating to the monitoring site distribution and how we understand the spatial pattern change over time, here's another way to look at if you rank all the monitoring sites, 106 of them in our study, that over this four-year time period, you have sites that are consistently wetter than the overall average, and opposite of that, consistently drier than the overall average, and those in the middle, in blue, in yellow. So translating on this map, you have a kind of spatial pattern that is popping up. For the most part, not absolute, the south-facing slope, right, tend to have more wetted locations, and north-facing slope tend to have more red dots. And the yellow dots, the overall average representation, if you were to just monitor one or two throughout this catchment, you might as well pick those yellow star spots. So give you the overall average. That's particularly useful for remote sensing of a given landscape in terms of soil moisture, which is you have average over a landscape. All right, so the second objective summarized here, which I have limited time to get into further, the hydrological processes in terms of the driver behind observed just temporal stability. But nevertheless, let me summarize here, which the detail is provided in this publication. Both seasonal and event-based hydrological processes, which I refer to here, emergence of the shallow groundwater table, particularly in the valley floor, and the subsurface lateral flow, which is preferential flow in these catchments, they are actually the hydrological fluxes or processes behind observed spatial variability as well as the temporal stability of the spatial variability. All right. So during the wet periods of winter and spring, you see the moisture distribution being possibly skewed in terms of the spatial distribution. But in the deeper part of the profile, below 0.8 meter, you tend to see more temporal stable distribution. And on the other hand, during the dry summer period, okay, the water removal process instead of water adding process, particularly evapotranspiration, they appear to reduce the catchment's overall spatial variability. In other words, homogenize the spatial variation. And that's controlled mostly by the soil properties distribution, which I indicated to you earlier on, that the texture is not a whole lot different throughout the catchment. So that's part of that story. Right, with that, I'm done. If I have time, but happy to answer questions you might have. I should mention the project is funded by National Science Foundation Critical Zone Observatory Program.
We have time for a quick question. How would you expect, this is a forested water,
right.
How would you expect these results to relate to agricultural?
Well, I alluded to one of that, should the landscape be flat? Which,
but if it's the same...
Less variable. Okay, actually, I do have an agricultural landscape. I have another talk, comparing this forest catchment versus agricultural landscape, exactly how the soil spatial variability. I should have talked about that here. That certainly is something we are also very interested in. And the agricultural landscape, which Gary knows well, it's kind of upside down shape of this V-shaped forest watershed. We have this kind of upside down concaved agricultural landscape, but less elevational gradient. All right, in that kind of setting, because of the ratio of the overall elevation change over space or the area size being smaller in agricultural landscape in general, it's not as steep, and therefore the spatial variation overall tends to be not so well correlated with terrain. That's one aspect. And second is that it has quite a bit to do with the growth of the crops, because you cut the crops and replant, and that kind of growing versus non-growing season is more evident, not, in other words, less temporally stable compared to the forest catchment. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, there's another question.
All right.
Okay, I also alluded to a little bit in my last slide in terms of the south facing versus north facing.